We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks postgame podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome in. Thanks for being here with us. We appreciate it on this not-too-cold Tuesday night in Chicago. Hawks lose 3-0 to the New Jersey Devils, and this is one of those copy-and-paste shows, fellas, where they played hard, they kept it competitive, and they lost. A tank win, I guess we call it.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Look, this was a game where, as I was going through the DraftKings app looking for my pregame wagers, I was looking to make a lot of money on the Devils winning this game by a lot.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to get my wagers in on time, fortunately, because I would have lost a couple of them.
The broadcast
on
delay.
On the same game parlay, but I had the Devils for like over 4.5. I had Jack Hughes scoring. I had the Devils scoring first. Like, I had a whole bunch of these things. And look, when you compare these two teams, roster wise, standing wise, there's no comparison.
No.
But the Hawks went in, played a decent road game, and really just fell short. And the difference in this game was the overall talent. And what really stood out to me, fellas, was the speed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The Devils are so much faster than the Blackhawks. Every time the Hawks would start a breakout, they would get caught from behind by the Devils. It seemed like it happened the entire game.
The puck possession game was just two teams playing at completely different levels. And I don't know how many times, you know, the Blackhawks were just pinned in their own zone, and the Devils just kept cycling possession of the puck. They would get a line change in their own offensive zone. Like, it was just constantly the Blackhawks chasing the puck, chasing the game. And then when they did have possession, you know, they didn't really have too many sustained offensive zone times other than having power plays. And, you know, when they did have possession, they'd be able to get a zone entry, and it would either be fumbled by their own player, or it's tossed into the corner and they lose a board battle. Like, it just, they did not have a recipe to overcome the Devils, who are playing the best that they've played as an organization, not just this season, but like in the last like handful of years. You know, when the Blackhawks played the Bruins earlier this year, we used the term wagon. I'm going to use the term wagon again for this Devils team. Like, they are playing as one of the best teams in the league right now. And to the people who were counting out Jack Hughes as a, you know, quote unquote bust, like, I don't know what player you're watching, but that kid is a stud.
He's a star. That team is they're playing like the Colorado Avalanche did last year right now. I'm not saying they're as good as that team last year, but they're kind of set up a little bit the same way. They've got a lot of speed. They've got some offensive talent on the back end. We saw Dougie Hamilton, who, you know, is going to be connected to the Blackhawks because a lot of people wanted Dougie Hamilton instead of Seth Jones. And yeah, you can make arguments till the cows come home about both of those guys. But again, nothing we can do about it now. Devils have been so good this year. They're so consistent. They play fast. They move the puck up the ice. They've got some creative talent that once they have the puck in the zone, but they're just the talent gap again, just huge in this game. Everything that the Devils did was just so smooth, so calm. And when the Hawks got the puck, it was like they had a live hand grenade with the pin taken out of it.
Really?
Like they were just couldn't wait to get rid of it. And then they couldn't complete. And I'm going to preface this by saying I like Colin Blackwell. I like Colin Blackwell as a guy. he does bring some things to the game, but woof. I think Colin Blackwell forgets how fast he is at times. And then he skates and he goes, shit, I got to stop. And then he can't stop. Like, he had that one play when they were shorthanded. He got past the defense, and he had a great scoring chance, but he literally skated right next to the goaltender before shooting it. And then there was that play in the third period where he's just like,
crashing
just goes right into the boards.
Yeah.
Looked like me out there trying to stop. Like, I get it. You're trying to make something happen, but play within yourself.
Yeah. I said during the game that Colin Blackwell has this great knack for making the very simple look incredibly difficult. And it's not a knock on him. Like, he's really out there trying hard, hustling. Like, if you want to talk about, like, the grit award or whatever you want to hand out, that's a guy who's a candidate every night. And I like him, and it's not an insult, but it just seems like sometimes the simple things elude him a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you said, like, he's skating too fast for his own good. It's kind of the jokes we made about Andreas Athanasiou is what is actually happening with Colin Blackwell. He was too fast for his breakaway. Right? Like, couldn't get the shot off.
Yeah.
So it's funny. You look at this game, and the shots on goal at the end were 29-24 in favor of the Devils, which is pretty respectable. Well, let's take a look into the fancy stats, shall we? At 5-on-5, New Jersey in Corsi rating, which is shot attempts versus shot attempts allowed, 67.4% to the Hawks 32.6. Mm-hmm. High danger chances, Devils 13, Chicago 5.
Yep.
Expected goals 2.82 for the Devils, 1.29 for the Hawks. Those are more representative of what we saw. And again, I don't think any of us are really in the mindset to like be really pissed about this outcome because it's expected. It's and they did keep it a little more interesting than they should have, but at the end of the day, as we say almost after almost every game, the difference here is talent. It's not coaching, it's not attitude, it's not effort, it is just a matter of talent. And this team is built to tank. And they are succeeding in doing so.
Yeah, it's not surprising. You know, every most games the Blackhawks are outplayed at 5-on-5. And if you aren't getting stand on their head all worldly goaltending, or you don't have a red hot power play, if you're getting outplayed night after night at 5-on-5, you're going to be in the tank standings as we get to that later in the show. You're going to see those teams. Most of those teams, pretty much all of those teams that are involved in the tank standings, are also in the bottom third of the league at 5-on-5 play, because that's where the talent gap is the most evident.
Yeah,
it's when you're playing straight up 5-on-5 hockey, and the Blackhawks are basically. It's representative of where they are as a team. They are one of the worst built teams in the league. So when you get that going up against one of the teams that's playing the best right now, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get hemmed in at 5-on-5. You're going to and two of the Devils' goals tonight came on the power play. Yeah. So it's not even that the 5-on-5 play was indicative of the score. It was the Blackhawks when they're playing their best is when they're basically having to play mistake free, and you give the Devils power play opportunities. I mean, you give them too many opportunities and you're going to eventually give up some power play goals there just because they're just built so much better than this team is.
Yeah. I mean, it's two straight games, no goals, shut out. They had three power play chances tonight, but didn't get a whole lot going. you know, it just, they're a bad 5-on-5 team. That they've been that way the whole year. They win the games when they can get some major special teams contributions. You know, you think back at that San Jose games early in the season. They got the two shorthanded goals. They had three power play goals to beat the Rangers the other night. You know, it's, if you're not scoring power play goals, you're not scoring. That's the way this team has been all season, and it's not going to change. I mean, we're going to get into Lucas Reichel. Who knows how long he's going to be here. Hopefully he could start doing something, but he's not going to make this team go from being one of the worst, if not the worst, 5-on-5 team in hockey and make them all of a sudden be good. He'll make them be slightly improved, but that's jumping over a very low bar.
Right.
So this is our this is our post-game show. Yeah. 80, we're going to do this post-game 75 times a year. I mean, this literally is the same show we did Sunday night.
Well, and it's we're sitting watching the game, and you know we're getting into the third period, and we're thinking, oh, we have to do King of the Game, and we have to do fourth Stars of the Game. And the three of us literally were all just like, who would it be? Because it's a game where no one really stood out. The game was played to the script of what these two teams would do when you match them up on paper. The Devils are substantially better than the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks, their opportunities are slim to take advantage of a team like the Devils, and no one stood out. No one stood out.
And we had that exact same conversation midway through the third period of the Islanders game, too.
Exactly.
Like, who the hell do we pick for this? Mm-hmm. Did Luke Richardson get hit in the head with a puck again? Was that our scapegoat?
That was a nice cop-out for us to have. I like the guy you said before you landed on your final something Fuchs or something his name was. Was the guy whose name you shouted
David
out?
David Fuchs.
Yeah.
When you had to pick.
He's all out of Fuchs.
So here's a little note from Ben Pope just now. Follow him.
Finally watched Cheers.
At Ben Pope CST. Lucas Reichel found out he was called up when he got to the rink in Rockford. Driven straight to O'Hare, flew straight to Newark. He got here 2 hours before game time.
Oh, wow.
No nap, didn't even eat lunch, only power bars and bananas. He played for $13.58.
Probably got a nice Stroop waffle on the
there you go. So, let's not freak out about how he wasn't noticeable tonight. Very tough situation for him to be put in. I was kind of surprised they called him up, to be honest with you. But I guess I said that they would call him up when they need to replace an offensive player, so you had to replace
player. Jonathan Toews,
if it was, you know, if it was Jujhar Khaira that couldn't go tonight, you know, you'd probably call up somebody else. But a little weird situation.
I was surprised that they didn't just
go with seven.
Go 11 forward, seven defensemen. Just dress whoever's healthy and punt this game. Like, would it have made a big difference?
No, they still would have lost 3-0.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised they didn't go that route.
It's interesting too because we've heard, you know, that Lucas Reichel. This is from Kyle Davidson, and he hasn't spoken in a long time. We were talking about that during the game, so I don't know if things have changed. But he said before the season, once Reichel's here, he's here. Now, I know Jonathan Toews being sick is a different situation, and they need to do something quickly, and it made sense to call up the best offensive player for Rockford. I don't know if he's here for one game and back down. The Hawks don't play again until Friday, so chances are Jonathan Toews will be feeling better by then.
Yeah.
So maybe Reichel is sent down. But, yeah, don't glean anything from this game from Lucas Reichel. Yeah. I just want to say that out front. But I will say, this was his 13th NHL game, I believe.
12th?
He had 12th? 11 last year.
Okay. He did 11
so,
last year.
One thing I've noticed, and I don't think that it's any reason to panic or that he's not going to be a good player. He's had a very limited look all these qualifiers. However, I feel like he never has the puck. Like, he's never controlling the game. He's never, you know, weaving through traffic. And he's gotten some opportunities on the power play a little bit today, and there was two shifts for me from him that stood out. There was one where he kind of created himself a partial breakaway. And then there was another shift where he just kind of got the puck out of the defensive zone, skated well, made some nice passes. It wasn't anything totally noteworthy, but it was like two of the only moments in the game where you really noticed him playing, despite the fact that I think the three of us were all eyes on 27 when he was on the ice. We were really, I know I was, really focusing on him every shift he was on. And it's just kind of hard for him to find the puck. And part of it could be line mates, of course, but yeah. He just doesn't seem like a guy who's going to by himself carry an offense. So when we look 3, 4, 5 years down the road, maybe you could project Lucas Reichel to be in a secondary scoring role, you know, second line. Maybe like he maxes out to be a Max Domi type. I don't know. I don't know what the future is for Reichel, but and look, maybe he turns out to be great. I don't know. But I just haven't seen enough domination from him to really get excited. Because we've seen those prospects in the past come up and get a look and you say, there it is. Like there's that little glimmer of I see what they see from this guy.
Yeah.
And you could see that when he puts it all together, it's going to be great. Haven't really seen that from Reichel. Again, 12 games, limited ice time, bad teams, yada, yada, yada. But I would like to see a couple more instances of domination from him. He is lighting the AHL up. He is ready to come up and take that next step, but I don't know if they feel he's totally ready yet.
I wonder if part of it is that in Rockford, he's like the guy or one of the guys. And then he comes up to the Blackhawks, and I wonder if it's a mental thing where it's not really focused on him as being like one of the offensive guys. If he's just kind of coming in and being like, oh, I'm going to play this role or whatever. Because there are prospects that come up and are the guy. And a lot of times those kinds of players need that kind of role to flourish. And I think, Reichel coming in last season on a team with Toews, Kane, Doc, DeBrincat, like there were a lot of other offensive options to focus on than him when he was up here. Now he comes up here tonight in a kind of an emergency basis. No Jonathan Toews. It's basically, you know, Patrick Kane leading the offensive charge and no one else. But to do it on short notice, to do it on, you know, we speculated, oh, did he stay on the East Coast? You know, because maybe they knew Toews wasn't feeling too well and was going to be a game time decision earlier than today. But, you know, getting the information from Ben saying that he flew out and was, you know, was only there 2 hours before the game started. It's hard to kind of jump in and try and be the guy in that scenario. But yeah, with Reichel, I just think maybe he doesn't have the confidence to right now jump in and be more of a take action player, a guy that can, you know, command more of the puck. Tonight his line mates were Taylor Radish and Jason Dickinson. It's not doing him too many favors.
On short notice with no practice, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what any kind of expectations you would have had. I'm not, you know.
If he had had the game he had tonight where it was like barely noticeable and he was matched up with Domi and Kane on a line, I'd be a little bit more like, hey, come on now. But tonight, you don't have to Zapruder film his entire game. Like,
You
need to give him some time.
I want to be clear too. I'm not talking about just tonight.
No, I get it. Yeah.
But tonight, like I just told everybody, like the scenario, it is not a recipe for success.
Right.
To fly, land, get to the rink, not eat food, not get a nap. Like these guys are hockey players more than anybody, are creatures of habit.
Yeah.
Where the nap is essential. The pregame meals are essential. He's coming in. You know, he's probably still got his like blood pressure up from rushing from the airport to the rink, getting dressed, getting ready for the skate. You can't take this game, ball it up, and throw it away in terms of Lucas Reichel. But I just want to see him get.
Yeah,
I want to see him dominate more often. We said during the Tom Curver's development camp, like we want to see that game where Reichel dominates. And I think, what do you have, 4 assists in that second game?
Second game.
So you saw it, right? But it's just. There's people in the chat calling him a bust. That's way overblown. Remember, Teuvo Teravainen came in here to an established Stanley Cup contending team and did not look like the guy he ended up being in Chicago. He never really took that step in his career. It took him going to Carolina to really become the all-star type player that he is now. Patrick Sharp said it during the game. Kane and Toews are not typical. Guys don't step into the league and become immediately great. Jack Hughes is another example.
It's taken him 3 years to become a star.
That is normal development.
Nico Hischier is another one.
Yes. To make any call on any player 13 games into their career is ridiculous. Would you make the same? Are you ready to make a career call on Arvid Soderblom yet? Because that's how many games he's played.
Right.
Of course not. You can't write off anyone yet. All I'm saying is I want to see those moments more often where the flash happens. Because with Tavo, you saw it. With Hughes, you saw it. With Hischier, you saw it. We haven't yet seen those moments with Reichel. But a big part of it is the fact that the team sucks butt.
Yeah, right. And listen, I agree with what Mario was saying. It's going to take some time for him to get that NHL confidence where he's ready to be assertive or ready to be, hey, screw it, I'm going to do it myself. Where coming into a locker room on a situation like today, you know, it's tough. Even last year when he was up, what did he had two separate stints?
Yeah.
He's playing third, fourth line, not his role. Not getting to play with top talent. Didn't get to really do much of anything in the preseason this year. So, you know, he's been playing much better in Rockford of late the last, you know, three, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're having, like, I get what you're saying. You want to see more out of him. I want to see him get put in a situation where he could do that.
Agreed.
Like, he's never been put on a top line. He's never been given that
never had a consistent role.
No. So, I mean, even tonight, it was like, okay, here's your guy. He's your offensive replacement for Jonathan Toews. And you put him with Jason Dickinson and Taylor Radish. What's he going to do on that line?
Right.
What's he going to do?
I would
have put him out there. I would have put him out there with Domi and Kane.
Yeah.
Go for it, kid. Just go out there and play hockey. Be instinctive. And let the other two guys bring the game to you.
And why not?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, like well, we couldn't possibly lose
what
this game.
What happens if you do it? You lose 3-0. Maybe you lose 3-1 if he's on that
right,
line.
Right, right, right.
Like, if not now, when?
If he's sticking around for longer than 12 hours with the team, you know, play him with Jonathan Toews and or Patrick Kane. Because you're not going to have a long time to do that this season, and
good point.
And his NHL future not going to be at center. I just don't see that.
No,
it's becoming
obvious that the Hawks
case.
Don't think that either.
Right, he played left wing tonight. So if he's going to come in as a wing, and you want to put him into a position to succeed, play him with Jonathan Toews at center, or play him on the opposite wing of Patrick Kane, where those are guys that he can play off of with his skill level and be able to, you know, maybe just build his confidence a little bit. And when I say like, oh, he needs a role where he can be the guy, like I'm not saying he has to be the number one offensive option, but give him the opportunity to, you know, be a scoring threat or be a passing threat, be a setup guy to either of those guys. Have an opportunity to do that.
I didn't love the fact that he was in a bumper role on the power play either. It just doesn't seem to suit his game. Put him out on one of the wings where he can skate around, where he can pass, where he can shoot.
I think he just kind of got rotated into that position.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think being on the wing in that kind of role when he's on the power play is best fit for him.
Yeah, and you know, when he's had the best success in Rockford, it's been when he's had some chemistry with somebody. Like last season, he played his best when Brent Connolly was his center.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't like.
When was the last season when Brent Connolly was on the Blackhawks?
Ice Hogs, yeah.
Ice Hogs and Blackhawks.
Yeah. You know, and then Connolly got hurt, but then he got some really good chemistry with Tepley, and you know, so I think if you're going to keep him up here now, and that remains to be seen. Kyle Davidson said, "Hey, when we call him up, it's going to be because he's going to stay in the NHL." Well, he's got his out with saying it was just an emergency call up.
Right.
To what you just said, Mario, if he's up here, let him play with Kane and Toews. Because he's not going to have that opportunity. Maybe much longer, if at the very most the rest of this season.
Mm-hmm.
if he can't get confidence and he can't, you know, acclimate himself playing with those two,
then
you got a problem.
Then you have some real questions. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Put him with your best players and just let him be there. This is what this season is for. He's not going to hurt the tank by playing with you're not all of a sudden going to go on a 10-game winning streak because Lucas Reichel is playing with right. Taves and Kane or Domi and Kane. And then you can mix guys around. Like, just if you're going to put him out there, play him on your top offensive line and keep him there.
Well, look at what we were talking about last season with Philip Kurashev. Like, he was up and down the lineup, in and out of the lineup, not really given a role. And then this year, he comes in, he has a more standard, more consistent role. He's in the lineup nightly, and his game has elevated from what it was last season. So players need that kind of opportunity to kind of know what they're going to have to expect out of them night after night. So if Reichel's here for the rest of the season, which I'm suspect of, but if that is the case, you have to say this is your role. You can't just bounce him around the lineup. That's not going to be conducive for him to, you know, feel out his game at the NHL level. So we got a $5 super chat here. We should probably get to that after we tell you about our fine sponsors and partners. And I'll start talking about saving money on your energy bill with ComEd and their energy efficiency program, which is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities that ComEd serves manage their energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future. ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across their territories. Customers can inquire about how to upgrade outdated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights, learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device, and track your facility's energy usage and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor, outdoor lighting and network lighting controls, making these projects even more cost-effective than before. So if you want to do all of that, you can visit them at comed.com/poweringbiz now and start saving money and energy. To start projects, you can contact them at 855-433-2700. And for more information, you can always email them at businessee@comed.com or at publicsectoree@comed.com.
Hey, if you want to take all that money you're saving with our friends at ComEd, and you want to save even more money by buying some great deals on your tickets for Blackhawks games, then you need to check out our friends at GameTime. GameTime is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals to tickets to sporting events, concerts, and shows. You ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? Center ice at Blackhawks, right behind the penalty box or the benches. Maybe you like that 200 level better. First row of the 200 level, best seat in the house, as far as you ask me. That's the best. Well, it's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. You are not going to get a better deal on Chicago Blackhawks tickets this season. I didn't check the prices for the Jets. The Jets are in town on Friday, but I think they were
under 30 bucks. How about this for Alex Ovechkin coming in Tuesday? $15.
Oof.
To go see Alex
I think that's
Ovechkin
another
play.
One of them weird late
it's
starts.
A late night start.
It's an 8 o'clock start. Not as bad as the Oilers the other night.
Yeah.
8 o'clock start for ESPN, but ESPN doesn't have a hockey game before that, so it should start right at 8 o'clock. So only a half hour delayed. But under weird. $20 to see Alex Ovechkin, who might one day be the all-time leading scorer in NHL history.
Can he?
So that's a good deal.
I was going to bring up a math question, but I'd rather not.
So that's Game Time. Go to Game Time. Go see Alex Ovechkin for under $20, or you want to go see a Bears game, a Bulls game. You want to go see your favorite band come into town. Is Harry Styles coming back? Can we get some Harry Styles tickets?
You might.
Well, whatever you need tickets for, go find Game Time. If you love CHGO, you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. If you're watching live on YouTube, first of all, thank you. Second of all, scroll down, smash that giant thumbs up on your way down, and then you will find the Game Time link right there in the description. If you're listening to an audio-only version, you'll find the link in the description there. Click on it and join over 15 million people who have used Game Time and score the best seats to all your favorite events.
That's a lot of people.
It is.
All right, let's get to that super chat we had a little bit earlier. Want to make sure we acknowledge those, and we appreciate it. Windy City Hockey says, the Hawks are hurting the Soderblom development with how bad this roster is. Also, Reichel shouldn't be on a line with Dickinson. Yeah, we got to the Reichel thing. I heard them talk about the Soderblom thing during intermission, and could it be impacting his development to be on a team so bad? Scott Darling said yes, which surprised me a little bit. Colby Cohen was not as strong on it in terms of negative or positive, but I don't. What else are you going to do?
Did you watch the Rockford IceHogs at all last year? That wasn't exactly a great team.
Yeah.
That's what else are they supposed to do?
Right. Who are they going to play right now? He's there because the two veterans you brought in so he could be in injured. Rockford keep getting hurt.
Right.
It's not ideal, of course, but he started more games for the Hawks than any of the other goalies.
This
wasn't the plan.
This isn't Arvid being up because he was lighting up. He was lighting up Rockford, and you know Peter Mrazek has been garbage, so they're benching Mrazek. Like that's not the case. It's injury based. You know we had Dylan Wells start a game because of injuries this year. Like this is not the plan for the goaltenders this season. The plan was for him to be the starter in Rockford, and now you have the starter and the backup from Rockford playing for the Blackhawks. Like that's you really can't do anything besides send him down just to not have him be on a bad Blackhawks team. Like it's,
what are you gonna do?
At some point you just gotta be like, well, he's the best guy that we can play.
Right.
It's not, I mean, we can argue, is it hurting his development or not? It doesn't matter. He's got to play out of necessity.
I think let's zoom out here too. Like anyone who's played sports in their life, no matter what level you're on, you know, if your team sucks.
Yes.
Right? Like, you get what's going on here. And they can talk all they want before the season about, we're going to prove people wrong and show them that we're not terrible. No. It's a bad roster. It's a bad team. It's designed to lose. So I think if you're worrying about, like, the mental aspect of wearing on Soderblom, you could probably put that away a little bit. First of all, he's super young. Second of all, he's been one of the best Hawks all year. Yeah. After every game, basically, Richardson has said, we got to do better for him. Mm-hmm. He knows this is not the plan for him. It wasn't supposed to be. I don't think we have to worry about it. It's not like he's going to pick up bad habits playing on a bad team.
He faced 40-plus shots on a nightly basis and lost 2-1 almost all season last year and got better.
Yeah.
Like, playing on a team that's not good, it's all he's done since he's been in North America.
Yes, he's used to it.
So it's fine. Like, let him get his games, and hopefully you can get maybe, you know, him back to Rockford for the second half of the season. That would be ideal. The perfect situation, Arvid Soderblom doesn't spend a single game in the NHL this year, but you can't control. You
can't predict
injuries. You can't control injuries. Like, you probably should have figured that Mrazek was going to get hurt at least once this season because it's kind of his thing. It's why he was available to be traded in the first place. And Stalock was kind of a question mark coming off, you know, all the health issues he's had. But, you know, his injury is because some dude hit him in the head, not because his groins keep falling off his legs.
And concussions, you can't predict how people recover from.
So you can't get upset about that. But Soderblom's the guy right now. Yeah. Like it or not, there's nothing we could do about it. There's nobody to sign right now.
Windy City Hockey says, the Blackhawks have the cap. Why not go get a vet?
What vet?
For what?
List me a vet. You want Braden Holtby?
Braden Holtby's retired.
He's retired because nobody wanted
him. Here's the list. Philip Larson, Alexei Melnichuk, Tyler Wall, Ilya Konovalov, Jack LaFontaine. Like, they're just not.
I'd rather have Pat LaFontaine.
J.F. Berube. And his massive Berubes.
There you go.
Garrett Sparks.
Nope.
Kale Morris. Been there, done that. Like,
heard that name before.
There's no one in here that's going to make a difference. And look, I think goalies and skaters are different when you talk about development. I don't think having him up here facing NHL shots and 40 shots a night or whatever it's going to be is going to damage him. He knows he's playing well. There's not been a game this year where I've said Soderblom is a reason the Hawks lost this game.
Right.
Not a single game. He knows that. The coaches know that. There's nothing here that I'm seeing from Soderblom that says his game's deteriorating, it's getting away from him. No, he's playing fine. Is he perfectly primed to begin his NHL career yet? Probably not. But I feel better about him in net than any of the other guys in the system right now.
Right.
And there is zero pressure on him right now.
Exactly.
None. There's no pressure on him.
He's not playing up with the expectations of making this team a contender.
Right. Right. There's no pressure on him. Let him just let it ride out. See how it happens. There's nothing you can do at this point.
Yeah, Nate brings up a good point. Soderblom is 23. Crawford was 25 before he got called up. He's got time still.
Right, yeah.
Like just,
and every goalie's different.
And this is his second year of playing in North America. Like it's the development of goalies and especially international goalies coming over to North America. Like. Take some time, take some getting used to, and look, like, given the situation that it is, him developing and getting more NHL time, it doesn't hurt him at all. So it's really the only situation you're in, unless you're you know, fine with playing Dylan Wells and Jackson Stauber in this situation.
No.
Like, what does it hurt?
Mark says you could trade for Hudobin as a salary dump, but then you're giving up an asset to get something. And what happens when Stalock and Mrazek are back? Then you've got three goalies at the NHL level, none of which really have much trade value.
Yeah. Right.
Why? Idea is to tank anyway.
There's no necessity to do it. The only reason that you would be in that situation where you would have a veteran is if you signed them in the offseason and you came into this year with, you know, Mrazek, Stalock, journeyman, third goalie vet, and then Soderblom is your guy
that
you
probably
say
should have done that, but
yeah, it probably should have.
2020
could have had JF Berube be that guy, and Soderblom is your starter in Rockford, and then if there's injuries, then Berube goes up, or throw in random vet goalie whatever, but because you know you went with Mrazek, Stalock, and Soderblom is your third, with no legitimate. You know, anyone behind him that you could, you know, leapfrog without hurting his development, that's the situation they're in.
You could make that trade for a Hudobin or one of these salary dump guys if we find out that Stalock or Mrazek isn't coming back this year. Then right. You go out and do
sure.
That. But yeah. Until then, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, Mrazek is pretty much. His IR was what, retroactive to Saturday?
Yeah,
third.
So, you know, that's the rules, what, seven days or four games?
Yeah, so that would put him on track for.
He'll be eligible to come back for that Tuesday game against, you know. Yeah.
Welcome back. Here's Alex Ovechkin.
If he's ready at that point.
Yeah,
like, right. I'm not.
That's a guy that was already playing on one recovered injured groin and is now injured his other one. Like, that hurts just to say it in my legs.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to see him anytime soon. So yeah. I don't see this stunting the growth of Arvid Soderblom. If anything, it's maybe helping him a little bit. He's not a guy that strikes me as a guy that, like, his confidence gets crushed because he gave up two one-timers on a power play that no goalie in the league would have had a chance on.
Yeah, one he didn't have a stick.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing that's been concerning me of late is how many times he drops his stick in the game. Like, that he needs to work on. But other than that, I mean, all things considered, he's exceeded expectations. Even when we were like, oh, he's got to come up for a couple of spot starts, he looked like a deer in headlights that little bit of NHL time he got last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, he's been nothing but confident. I don't see him regressing in any way, shape, or form. Sure, losing sucks, but, I mean, they're not losing because of him. He's not losing. I don't think he's losing sleep because he was like, damn it, had I just not given up all four of those goals, we still would have tied 0-0. Like, it's fine.
Right.
Yeah, he's certainly not a problem. And again, if we were seeing evidence of, oh God, like he's really starting to get lit up night after night after night, maybe we have a different story, conversation. You send him down for a reset to build some confidence. But I just haven't seen that. I think he's been fine.
If he was letting in goals that you're just like, that you just shake your head at, and he's becoming visibly like frustrated with it, then yeah, you say there's a problem. But he seems like a guy who's very even keel, and seems like he can handle this kind of situation pretty
well. Yeah, that's what Jimmy Waite said to Ben Pope last week when he wrote about him. Just he's so calm that sometimes it almost worries Jimmy Waite. Like, is this guy ready to go? He's just so even keel and level, and that's, again, the Corey Crawford comparison.
I think there's some teams out there right now that had playoff aspirations before the start of the season that wish they had Arvid Soderblom. After watching Cam Talbot embarrass himself tonight, I guarantee you Ottawa wish they had Arvid Soderblom right now.
Yeah.
You think the Edmonton Oilers wouldn't roll the dice with him right now? As Jack Campbell continues to pee down his leg every night he gets on the crease? So
yellow.
It's fine. It's not ideal. It's not what we wanted. In a perfect world, Arvid Soderblom would be the AHL's leading goaltender in save percentage right now. But probably. He's not, because he's got to be here.
All right. We need to acknowledge our buddy Noroids Just Rage, who's with us every show.
Yeah.
One of our most loyal listeners. And Noroids is having a tough night. And I just want to talk him off the ledge a little bit. He says, I see this rebuild 10 years from now with the Hawks totally invested in Reichel, and he isn't doing anything that shocks us with any type of skill. It's bad. Hawks might only have Korchinski in the pool that can play in the NHL.
Ooh.
Hold on. Like, guys,
first of all, it's one draft.
It's a 3-0 loss to the second-best team in hockey on the road without your captain and most valuable player this year. Like, let's not draw any grand conclusions, because Lucas Reichel, who got off a plane 4 hours ago, didn't set the world on fire playing with Jason Dickinson and Taylor Radish. Like, slow down, pump the brakes. Yeah. Yes, Korchinski looks great. Frank Nazar is a really good prospect. Guess who else is? Lucas Reichel is still a very good prospect. Mm-hmm. If you talk to any of the prospect people, like Corey Prom and Chris Peters, they all love Lucas Reichel. They think he's going to be a good player. He's 20 years old. He's 12 games into his career, where he's been up and down and up and down with no consistent line mates, no consistent playing time. Look at Max Domi this year. That's a guy who's been in the league for, 7-8 years at least?
Yeah.
It took him a good month to settle into the Hawks system, to settle in with his line mates, to find his own game. Now he's 1 point behind Patrick Kane for the team lead in scoring. It's not just a plug a guy in and he's immediately great. We've got to get ourselves out of this mindset that every good prospect is Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews. It's just not. Go back to the days of Keith and Seabrook, where they looked like Bambi on skates sometimes. It does not happen overnight. Please, please, please do not let this game or three games in a row or whatever it is skew your vision for these prospects or the vision of the future, because there is a plan. The plan's in place. They went from 0 first-round picks to 3 in the course of, 2 hours last summer. They've got pieces to move here. You can clearly see the plan here. And look, it doesn't mean that Lucas Reichel is going to be the next Patrick Kane, but I don't think anyone's projecting that. No. He wasn't drafted in the same position as that. If he can be... If he maxes out his Teuvo Teravainen, you should be very happy with that.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd be thrilled with that.
But somewhere between Domi and Teravainen, maybe?
Sure.
Realistic? Okay. So there's nothing that you saw today that should be suddenly changing your mind about how the rebuild's going.
Well, here's my 2 points on that real quick. First of all, the rebuild isn't hinged on the success of Lucas Reichel.
Nope.
Right.
It's not based on if Lucas Reichel is a success, then it's a success. Like, that's why they got 3 draft picks this last summer.
Yes, that's an acknowledgement by Davidson that I like Reichel, but he's not enough to take us to the next level.
If Lucas Reichel fails, the rebuild doesn't fail. If Lucas Reichel's success, the rebuild isn't a success.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to mention, and you know who would watch Lucas Reichel's first 12 NHL games and declare him a bust. That guy right there. He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
For years, we have been saying you have to be patient with your prospects. Be patient with the prospects. He's still a prospect. He's 20. Yeah. He's fine. And our guy Norroy says we just need to find our Jack Hughes, Matt Beniers, Jason Roberts. So does 27 other teams. Yeah, we knew right. that going into the year, and I don't think anybody said that Lucas Reichel was going to be any one of those guys.
No, that was no. The expectation, even when he was drafted, wasn't that he was going to come in and be a day one guy that's going to change a team. He was drafted in the middle of the first round, and I remember in that draft, you know, the draft analysts had him as a late first round, maybe even a second round guy. So he was drafted a little bit higher than expectations
Wait
were.
A minute, you're saying our former GM?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
so
a little bit of a reach, but he's supposed to come in and be a contributor. We talked earlier about. Is his ceiling a second line, secondary scoring option? Probably. If he hits that, fantastic. Because the Blackhawks have this last summer's draft class to point to already and be like, look, there's at least three guys in here that you're gonna say they are major contributors to the rebuild. It's Nazar, it's Korchinski, it's Renzel down the line. You can look at a guy like Ryan Green that they got. Like he's coming in to his own. Your guy Sam Savoie is coming into his own as prospects, and those are players that you're going to say are going to have a major impact in the success or the failure of the rebuild. Reichel's part of that. Del Mastro, Nolan Allen. Kemezo, Colton Dock, like those are guys that are part of the rebuild. It's not just based off of, hey, what happens in the next 12 months? Like that's not what the rebuild is. Like, yeah, there's a multi-year plan here. And Reichel is a part of it. Last year's draft class is a part of it. This summer's draft class is a major part of it.
Yeah.
And so There's a lot of pieces to the puzzle. There's not one magical fix to this Blackhawks team because there's deficiencies everywhere. They don't have the next great forward in the system. Like Reichel, good player. He's not the next great guy.
Yeah, he's not a franchise.
Do they have the next great blue liner in Korchinski?
Maybe,
but we're years away from finding that out. They don't have the next elite starting goaltender. Like, is Kemezo and Soderblom, are they good prospects that could be, like, legit starters? Sure. Are they going to be elite superstars? We don't know. Probably not, but we don't know. There's a lot of pieces that of the puzzle for this rebuild that still need to be put together.
And this year's roster is built to get that guy.
Right.
To get that, you know, Jack Hughes, you know, Jason Robertson type guy.
Fantilli, Mitchkov.
You get that top three pick, which this roster is built for. You get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to let it. This rebuild wasn't.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
This past, as I said before the offseason even started, this past offseason wasn't, to me, this offseason is year one of the rebuild. Last offseason was getting to ground zero.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was digging yourself out of the rubble
draft,
of he who shall not be named.
Draft day was basically the starting point.
Yeah. So year one of the rebuilds is this summer to me in my eyes, because Davidson had to go out and get draft picks because he was left with none, and he had to do this and that, and now he's built a team that can go out and get that generational talent, hopefully, if the lottery balls fall your own way. And yes, I know, the worst record doesn't guarantee you Connor Bedard. I freaking know that, but he's getting yourself the best odds for it. And
lottery balls.
Like, it's just, let it play out. Yes, Lucas Reichel, we can debate till the cows come home what his ceiling is going to be, but let's let him get maybe a full NHL season in before we start labeling him anything. Except a prospect.
So
prospects are inconsistent. They're up and down. Let's let it play out.
As we were chatting here, I went back and looked just for shits and giggles. Jack Hughes rookie year, It took him 6 games to get his first point. Okay. And that was him playing every game and then suddenly pick things up. Fine. Here's Lucas Reichel's game log from last year. When we talk about consistency and getting consistent chances, he played January 13th, January 15th. 2 games. Okay. February 18th, 20th, 25th. April 7th, April 10th, 12th, 14th, 16th, 18th. So that was the end of the year, right? But he's just up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. No consistent line mates, no consistent ice time, no consistent position. He was doing center and wing last year, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's up, and I haven't really seen any comments from Luke after this game yet, but if he's up for a while, they've got to put him in better situations to win and to succeed.
Yeah.
Because what they did with him last year, I know what Richardson was trying to do, not Richardson, what Davidson was trying to do, actually wanting him to get the free agency more quickly so he would resign for cheaper, hopefully before he started really achieving big numbers and becoming more expensive.
Yeah.
It's an interesting move, not something you see done very often. So they feel like his next deal will be cheaper potentially because they burn that first year. Fine. But if you're going to burn the year and you're going to have him here, put him in a situation to succeed. I think he's going back down.
Right.
I don't think he's staying up. I think had Taves played today or not been sick at all, Reichel would not have been recalled, and I think this is it for him right now. But whenever it is time, put him in a situation that's going to help him. I love what you guys are saying about give him the chance to play with Kane and Taves because that could be gone at any moment. Mm-hmm. If they go to Kyle Davidson tomorrow and say, look, we're ready. We're ready to go. Start taking some calls and come to us with some ideas and we'll make it happen. Then he has to be called up.
Right.
And then
he's thrown into a scenario in which
your top line is Domi, Athanasiou, and
Reichel. Yeah.
Until March 3rd.
And then those guys are potentially
then it's
gone.
Lucas Reichel,
Kurashev, and Radish.
It's Reichel and friends.
Like, seriously. Like you've got to get him some time with some decent players. I would love to talk to Kyle Davidson. And I think we need to start pushing the Hawks a little bit to help us out in that
because
he has not talked a lot recently. And I would just love to pick his brain about how things are going, if he feels good about the direction, and specifically about the plan for Reichel because it seems very unclear.
My only tinfoil hat about Reichel coming up in this scenario and not having it be, you know, oh, he's only going to be up for this game, not having it be like a Brett Senni or a Cole Gutman, is do they think whatever is ailing Sam Lafferty or Tyler Johnson's recovery, are any of those hitting roadblocks where it's going to be longer than expected? And their thought is, well, even with Taze coming back, maybe having Reichel here, this is now the opportunity because one of those guys potentially could be out longer than expected.
Maybe.
That's just completely based on speculation. I don't have any information otherwise.
We'll probably find out in short order.
We might go to bed tonight morning with Lucas Reichel going back to Rockford. That could be the case.
IceHogs have a game tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they may ship him right back to Rockford. Here, go play another game right off the airplane.
Yeah.
At least let him get a nap first.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And if he is here, play him on the top line. If you think he's a top six guy, play him with the two other top six players you actually have on this roster.
If he's not a top six guy in your mind,
what are we doing here?
Maybe time to move on.
Somebody asked a long time ago in the chat, if somebody offered you 2 first-round picks for Lucas Reichel at the trade deadline, would you take it? Hell and yes.
Probably. Yeah, sure.
I would take Lucas Reichel, stop for lunch, and then drop him off at the airport.
Yeah.
And I like Lucas Reichel.
Yeah.
I'd give him all the power bars he wanted on the way there.
And bananas.
And let him nap in the backseat.
All right, we're way behind on our stuff. Let's get to our 4 stars of the game.
Oh, God, we have to do that.
Why do we got to go talk about this game again? I forgot who I picked.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to give... why the hell? My 4-star goes to Mackenzie Entwistle because He had four hits and two shots.
Purple text.
You gave me some reason to do it earlier, and I forgot what it was.
Mario
gave me some stat. I'm like, yeah, Ant Whistle.
Yeah. Don't ask me about the purple text. I don't know where that came from.
All right.
Yeah, nice. It does look kind of nice, doesn't it?
Purple's my favorite color. Purple's a fruit.
Oh, nice.
In honor
of
Prince.
It was just for Jay.
Yeah, it's for Prince.
What happened? Is Prince, is this an anniversary or something? Or just,
nah, no. Just for
anything
for
purple's for Prince.
Okay.
He was great.
Oh, no. It could be for Advent. isn't the color for Advent purple?
That is true.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. See, there's my religious
I believe it's like the fourth Sunday of Advent is the purple.
No, that's the pink one.
Region Rev, where you at? Come on.
The pink one.
You're right.
It's the three purple ones, and then the third Sunday is the pink one.
The pink one was my nickname at the score that Mike North gave me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why.
Because I'm very pink.
It's my Catholic education hard at work. The pink one. That's how it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways, Greg, who'd you pick?
I picked a guy that played.
That works.
And
Athanasiou.
Oh, that guy. Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to nominate all you fans, but I was told I had to pick a player.
No, you could have done whatever you wanted.
Yeah, I'll give it to Andreas Athanasiou. He had four shots on goal, which was 1/6 of the total the Blackhawks had. Six total shots on goal. He was noticeable at times, and he didn't get hurt, so good for him.
Yeah, he had a couple of good scoring chances, driving to the net, creating his own stuff.
He had a very Andreas Athanasiou game.
Exactly. You almost know exactly what you're going to get from him every game. Just what you don't know is if he's going to finish any of those chances. I went with Patrick Kane because he was the only one doing anything offensive tonight. I believe he finished with seven shots on goal. He had a pretty high individual expected goals rate on natural stat trick. I believe it was 0.39 individual goals expected out of him. But, hey, they got zero, so it really doesn't matter.
Nope. Patrick Kane, a lot of shots for a guy that I was told on the internet is not interested.
Mm.
The actual three stars, Jack Hughes, Dougie Hamilton, and Vanacek, who shut out the Blackhawks. Is that even – should even get a three-star – should get a star for shutting out the Blackhawks? I guess. All right, we should do our
the goalie on Sunday night guy was one of the three stars. I don't even remember who it was. Islanders. Varlamov, that's correct.
Confirm Pudwack. All right, let's get to our DraftKings king of the game as well. Speaking of,
there he is again. Yeah,
Patrick Kane.
Seven shots on goal.
I love the
way
graphic.
To go.
Zero goals.
Assists,
seven
no
shots. 22-20 of ice time. Yeah. Way to be the least bad Blackhawk, Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
You did it.
Way to go.
That is our DraftKings king of the game.
Score of the king.
That accomplishment is right up there with his Conn Smythe trophy.
Yes, sir.
your CHGO t-shirt is in the mail.
And hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code CHGO. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Oh, yeah, we got another one, don't we?
Yep.
The Shady Rays guys.
Shady Rays.
Yeah, our friends Shady Rays. I just got me some new Shady Rays today.
Me too.
I'm excited. Nice. The Shady Rays, they never understood why sunglasses are so expensive, so they set out to change it and
boy, howdy.
By cracky, that's exactly what they've done. Love me some TB. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this winter because our friends at Shady Rays have you and your precious eyeballs covered. Shady Rays are premium Polaroid shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. And the best part about Shady Rays, you've already heard me talk about it, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Did you drop them in a lake? Did Thomas Tatar's stick knock them off your face?
Oof.
Well, doesn't matter. They will replace them. Even with that strong of a Protection Program. They still manage to make quality that I could tell you for wearing Shady Rays. They are just as good as any of those expensive pairs found on the market, probably even a little better, but I'm biased. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed and have donated over 20 million meals to date. That is my favorite part about Shady Rays. Not only do you get to look cool, but you're doing something cool for those who are in need. They stand behind their product, and they told our team that if anyone has a problem, they will throw the profit right out the giant test window at the Shady Rays factory, and they will do what it takes to get it right.
Eat that profit.
Free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay you to ship them back. That's it. An exclusive for our listeners who we love and adore. Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use the promo code CHGO, you've heard of them, for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. That's buy one, get one free, kids. Mm-hmm. The more you buy, the more you save. You can get two awesome pairs of Shady Rays for as low as $54. Fill all your friends' stockings with Shady Rays at ShadyRays.com.
All right, before we wrap up, let's update the tank standings.
This cracks me up. I don't know who made this, but I'm a fan.
I believe that's Lawrence.
That's a Lawrence creation.
Yes, that's Lawrence all over the place.
All right, Kevin, pop the graphic up there because I don't know it. There we go. Uh-huh. Leading the tank standings are the abysmal Anaheim Ducks. 6-17-3 with 15 points. Columbus, they lost tonight, 18 points in 24 games. They're 8-14-2. The Arizona Coyotes are third in the tank standings, 18 points. 7-12-4 in 23 games. But the Hawks, actually, wouldn't the Hawks be? I think the Hawks should be third.
I think points percentage, the Blackhawks would be second to last.
Okay. So the Hawks.
So they'd be 31st in the league.
Got it. So the Hawks have 18 points as well. Mm-hmm. And then San Jose, fifth with 20 points in 28 games, 8-16-4. We encourage you to go to tankathon.com where they track these things for you. You could just see, and you could kind of simulate the lottery. I'm going to do it right now. Ooh, the Hawks pick fourth in my lottery.
Oof, get out of here.
Vancouver, San Jose, Anaheim, Chicago. That is a nightmare scenario.
No, thank you.
All right, let's do one more time before we go. Just be safe.
Hey, Leo Carlson would be pretty good.
Hawks get the two pick. Second,
right,
second
fine.
Time. Yeah. Ottawa with the top overall pick.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's what Ottawa needs. More forwards and no defense.
Yep.
Two huge tank games coming up before the end of the month. December 23rd and 31st, the Blue Jackets and the Blackhawks. Yeah. Must lose games. I mean,
Must
play games. Yes, lose them, those games.
Blackhawks must lose.
Let's put,
that would help.
Let's put Jackson Stauber out for one of those games, just in case.
Boy, they showed him when Soderblom was looking hurt. Ooh. He was like,
maybe if I stand perfectly still, they won't know I'm here.
I don't want to go in. All right.
Yeah,
let's wrap things up.
That's where we are.
I still have a voice. We're back tomorrow at 2:30. We're going to have some fun. If you missed my Blackhawks beat piece on allchgo.com, I handed out my awards at the 25 game mark. We're going to do that as a show tomorrow and some other stuff. We'll have probably some Lucas Reichel news one way or another. And some other stuff we want to get into that we haven't really had a chance to do on these post-game shows. So join us at 2:30. We'll be right here in these studios live. So make sure you jump on the YouTube. Make sure you smash that like button on your way out if you've not done it already. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, make sure you are subscribed there as well. And hey, guess what? If you're listening to us or watching us, chances are you know some Hawks fans. Let them know about us. Word of mouth is very, very good. And, of course, become a diehard at allchgo.com. We'd love to have you as part of the team here. So for Greg and Mario, thanks to Kevin for producing. I'm Jay. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2:30 on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.